Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. When we send or receive emails, there will be a title which will give us a good clue as to what the content will be, or perhaps the urgency. And obviously, I deal with a lot of emails coming in. In fact, this week I received an email where the title referred to an event in the spring of 2024. So you can understand that it kind of thought, this is not important. And then I decided to open it yesterday. And the person was asking for an answer, like, in the next couple of days. If the title said, "Important, quick answer needed," I would have opened it. But the title gives us should give us an indication of what to expect. A written letter in an envelope perhaps is a bit more secretive. And if you've received a letter which says Inland Revenue, you might be left in fear and trepidation and then have that pleasant surprise when opening that you've actually received a cheque instead. Perhaps a bit like being called to the head teacher's office all those years ago at school, and you're fearing the worst, only to be congratulated and given some good news. In our gospel today, Mark sets out his reason for writing, and focusing mainly on this very first verse of his gospel, which prepares the reader for with expectation and a sense of what is coming next. It's his title. This is good news. And not just good news, but the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark is setting out his stall. This is what his book's going to be about. And this simple, brief sentence summarizes his whole purpose for writing his book. To tell the story of God's good news revealed to us in Jesus. And my goodness, do we long to hear good news. There is plenty of good news in the world, but as we know, there's a lot of bad news around too. And that's what we seem to get to hear a lot about. And so we should, in order to be informed and to consider how we might respond to that situation. Why do we come to church? If we sat down and thought about this question, I would imagine there would be many answers given. But a significant part of the experience of coming here, surely, is a desire to hear good news and the Word of God, how it applies to our lives here and now. Mark was the earliest of the Gospels to be written. It's the simplest of the Gospels. There's no mention of annunciations or messages to Zachariah and Elizabeth that they're going to have a child called John the Baptist. There's no virgin birth. There's no shepherds or wise men. No stories of Jesus' early life. All a bit like the gospel from John, actually, the fourth gospel, except far more simple. We're straight in there. And like John, Mark uses language that echoes of the creation narrative. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning. And the whole tone of Genesis 1, of course, is that God sees everything and it is good. Likewise, John's gospel uses those same three opening words that are used in Genesis. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Mark 2 is picking up on this theme of creation, that in the arrival of Jesus there is a new beginning, an act of recreation. But unlike John's gospel, which gives us extensive accounts of Jesus' resurrection, Mark's gospel is more open-ended. The original ending of Mark's gospel leaves us with the empty tomb and a sense of mystery. It's as though Mark is suggesting that his book is the beginning of the good news, where others are called to complete the story. And who are those others? Is it not us? Do we believe that we are part of this ongoing story? If Mark's gospel is the beginning of the good news, then surely we are in the in-between parts, before the final part of the story comes to pass. Mark's story is our story too, and the church is called to be a co-creator, to be able to continue to make all things new. As I get older, and hopefully wiser, I'm more acutely aware of how fortunate I am in so many ways. So many people on God's earth are suffering. Life is difficult. I spent a good part of last Friday in Trafford General Hospital receiving an intravenous infusion. It takes about 6 hours, and I see people come and go for much shorter periods of treatment. It gives me a chance to reflect on what I see. People from all walks of life, people of all ages, people with difficulties, and the nursing staff so caring and attentive. And as I sat there in the warmth of that hospital, my thoughts turned to Gaza, thinking of innocent people living in fear, and hospitals a far cry from the place where I was. I'm receiving an expensive infusion to help me maintain a good quality of life, whilst others in this world are not able to receive the very basics in healthcare to survive. I am lucky, and I'm left thinking, what can I possibly do to contribute to this world, to use what I've got for the benefit of others? In regard to the Middle East, it seems to me the world is sitting in silence, remaining passive to what is happening. We feel helpless. How can we possibly continue the good news story? Well, we cannot solve such big issues, but we can have an effect in our own little way, or so it seems to us. God is well aware of all the good things that we do, big or small, they all count. And the clue to this comes from the second part of the gospel, where the forerunner to Jesus, John the Baptist, has a message for the people to get ready for someone coming who was far more powerful than him. John chose not to deliver his message in the temple or in the city, but out in the simplicity of the hostile environment of the wilderness, the barrenness, the desert. So too for us, the good news received here in this church must be lived and communicated out there in the world, beyond the walls of the church building, to be the continuing good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And in doing so, not just helping others and revealing God at work in us, but helping to get people ready for meeting the one who is the beginning and is the end. Amen.